This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to the book of John. And this afternoon, we're going to be looking at John chapter 11. Jesus had been up in the Judea region, and he had left and gone down to where John had baptized, which would have been south of Jerusalem, over south and east of Jerusalem, over along the Jordan River to just the north of the Dead Sea. And he had been there. He was on his way back. He was on his way there when word came to him about an emergency in Bethany. Bethany is a small village that is located about 2 to 3 miles outside of Jerusalem, and it is where Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus lived. These were very close to Jesus, and it says in Scripture that he loved them, as they were very close disciples of his. And let's begin beginning at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Then he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in the sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray now that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the truths that are contained within it. And Lord, help us to see that you are the one that's in control. When you walked on this earth, your enemies thought they had control. The enemies thought that they were the ones that could manipulate the events that were going on. And yet, you were the one that was in control of all things. And even this event where Lazarus died, but that death was there to bring glory to you and to reveal the power of your Son and who he truly was. And Lord, we know that even in our day in which we live, there are events in our lives that sometimes are disturbing to us, but Lord, you know of them, and Father, you desire to work through those that you may receive the glory and the praise. Speak to us now through your word, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The distance that Jesus would have been from Jerusalem in modern-day travel wouldn't have been that far. However, he had to walk. He didn't have the advantage of a car or a bus. And so it would have been a couple of days' journey for him to travel from down by the Jordan River north of the Dead Sea up to Jerusalem to where Lazarus lived, just a few 2 miles outside of Jerusalem at Bethany. When Lazarus became sick, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. They evidently had known that he was going down to the Jordan, and they sent word by some of their friends or servants to tell Jesus to come quickly because Lazarus was sick and he needed to be there to heal him. Now, some interesting things are going to occur here. I want you to look this afternoon at Jesus' response to their request, the first thing we're going to look at. The second thing, the disciples' response to Jesus wanting to go back to Jerusalem. And thirdly, I want us to look at Thomas's response, which is very interesting in light of the way Thomas responds later on when Jesus is risen from the dead. Well, let's begin with the text this afternoon. So we see that Lazarus has become sick. And Martha and Mary, his sisters, send word to Jesus. And it tells us who Mary was. It gives us some insight into her. It says, Mary is that one who anointed Jesus with oil and wiped his feet with her hair. That account is given in of the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee. And he lived in Bethany too. So he would have known Martha and Mary. And you can see that Jesus was there, invited to a dinner, and Simon the Pharisee. And when he went, Simon didn't offer any foot washing for him, which was customary for a guest. You'd offer to wash their feet. They traveled in sandals on gravel road, on dirt and gravel, and so their feet would be dirty. And it was a custom, just like oftentimes if people come to your house and they've traveled the distance, you offer them the use of your restroom. That would be the equivalent of washing their feet, and so to give them comfort. Well, Simon didn't. Mary saw what had happened. She came in, and she had an alabaster oil, which was very, very expensive. She anointed his head with the oil, and she wept and wiped her tears off his and wiped her his feet with her hair, and the scriptures say that the disciples couldn't understand what was going on, especially Judas Iscariot, because he was concerned with the things of this world and money, and they said, why would you allow her to anoint you with this expensive oil when it could have been sold and given to the poor? And then Simon the Pharisee couldn't understand why he was allowing her to wipe his feet with her hair. And Jesus chastised them all and basically said that she's anointing me for something that you're not even understanding. And she was preparing him because she was anointing him for the thing that he was going to be doing, going to the cross for us. And anointing him with the oil, that was a sign of someone who was anointed of God and had a mission and purpose, and that was Jesus. And secondly, he also said, she wiped my feet when no one offered to wash them, and yet she wiped them with her hair. And the beauty of a woman, the scriptures tell us, is her hair, the glory of a woman. And so she was taking what was that which was glorifying to her and using it in a manner to wipe his feet, that you would do a common thing with a towel. And so we see that the scriptures here tell us that was that Mary. And Mary and Martha were sisters. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, Jesus already knew this. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick. And the interesting thing is his response when he gets the message. You'd think that if somebody that was your friend and very close to you, and they sent you an urgent message saying, the one that you love is sick, you need to come quickly, you would probably drop everything to get there because you'd be concerned, well, I need to get there while they're still alive so I can talk to them. Yet Jesus isn't in a hurry. He takes his time, and the disciples don't understand why. Then said Jesus, Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death. So he says that initially, the sickness isn't unto death. But then he's going to say, but Lazarus died. So what does he mean by that? The sickness is not unto death. But yet a few verses later, he tells the disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. Well, the sickness wasn't going to be Lazarus' final day with death. Because Jesus, he was dying this time so that the Lord could be glorified and that Jesus could reveal the fact that he was the one who had power over life and death. And also, he's going back into the den of thieves, if you would, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Jewish leadership that hated him. And when he had left, they were threatening to stone him. And so they wanted him dead, and they wanted him dead by whatever means possible. And they were willing to actually stone him, which would have been illegal under Roman law, because they did not have the power to initiate the death penalty, and they could not carry it out. Rome had to carry out the death penalty. The Jews could not do that. So they knew what they were doing was illegal against the laws of Rome, but yet they were willing to chance it because they hated Jesus so much. And now Jesus is going back to Judea at the behest of Mary and Martha due to Lazarus' sickness, and his disciples don't understand what's going on. They don't get it. And so Jesus says here, this sickness is not unto death, and Lazarus is not going to die permanently, because he will have to die again. Some people have said, well, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I thought it said it's appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. Well, there are special circumstances where Jesus did raise people from the dead, but when he raised them from the dead, they had to die again because there had to be a final death per the scripture. And the only ones that won't experience final death will be those that are caught up in the rapture that are living when the Lord returns. Otherwise, every man, woman, and child that is born into this world will eventually die because that is the consequences of sin. But this was not the final death for Lazarus, and Jesus knew that, and that's why he makes this statement. This is confusing to his disciples, because if this sickness isn't unto death, then what's the hurry? And why do you even want to go back into Jerusalem? If Lazarus really isn't going to die, then why go back to Jerusalem where you could die, where they would pick up stones and stone you? But Jesus goes on, he says, but this is for something more important than my not going to Jerusalem so I don't have to face the Sadducees and the Pharisees. This is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So what Jesus is going to happen here is he is going to be revealed again in a more powerful way than any of the others that he truly is the Messiah. Because it is said that the Messiah would come and he would have the power over life and death. He would have the power to give life and raise people from the dead. And Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem and to Bethany right outside of Jerusalem, and he is going to exercise this power that he has over death and raise Lazarus from the death for the glory of God, and that the glory of the Son may be revealed not only to the average resident of Jerusalem and citizen of Israel, but to this Jewish leadership that is constantly saying, tell us plainly if you're the Son of God. Remember, we've had them tell them that, ask them that question a couple times already in our study. Well, just tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? Well, if he comes back to Jerusalem and faces them boldly and raises Lazarus from the dead, this is a definite statement he's the Messiah and glory should be given to him. So this is the purpose of this. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so I want you to see that this is not the fact he didn't rush back there because there were just some other people that were interested in following him. No, they were very close to him. They were intimate to him. He visited them when he went to Bethany. Their home was always open to him. They were followers of his. They believed in him. They understood the second coming. They understood the resurrection. We're going to see that in the next study we have where Martha meets him. Because they knew the scriptures, and they also had listened to the teachings and believed what Jesus said, not only about himself, but about the future of his followers and the future of this world. Now, verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, like I mentioned at the beginning of the message, if you heard someone that was very close to you, that you loved, that you cared for, was sick, and someone had saw it was so urgent and so serious that they sent somebody a couple days' journey just to come and tell you to please come get there quickly, they're really saying this may be the last time you see him alive, so you better come quickly. In Jesus' case, they were saying, please come and heal him. That's what they were looking for, was Jesus' healing hand, because wherever Jesus went and sickness was, healing occurred. And so Martha and Mary are seeking that Lazarus be healed because they love their brother. They also know that Jesus loves them. And yet Jesus' response is just to hang out 2 more days on the Jordan River. And this may seem totally illogical. It is not illogical if you look at what Jesus said in the reason that he was going to go to bring glory to himself. In the Jewish culture, if you were dead 2 days or 3 days, you weren't considered really dead, because they said maybe you might revive. Maybe there'd been a mistake. Maybe your heart was still beating, but we just couldn't sense it. And so after 2 days or 3 days, you could revive and come back to life, but you really weren't dead. But after 4 days, that was the limit. 4 days, you were dead. And it didn't matter who you were, what the circumstances were, you were dead. That was the way that the Jews looked at death and pronouncing death on people, that death really was finalized after the person had been declared dead for 4 days. And later on you see that Martha even says that Lazarus' body had begun to stink because decomposition had begun to occur after the fourth day. And this is another reason that they acknowledge that death really began at that point. Well, Jesus abode 2 more days. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that he didn't get there before the fourth day. And then when Lazarus would be raised from the dead, people would just say, well, he really never died. He was just, passed out. He was just, had been overcome by his illness, but he was really still living. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, they are confused because they're going, okay, Jesus didn't leave immediately when he got the word, but he stayed for 2 more days. So if you're staying for 2 days, what difference does it make if we stay for 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, a month, if we never go back? Because the Jews are going to kill you. Well, Jesus wants them to understand that that's not the issue here. The issue isn't what the Jewish leadership thinks of Jesus and what they plan on doing to him. He already knows what they plan on doing to him, and they've already tried to do it on numerous occasions, not been successful, because as I said before, it was not the time, nor was it the manner in which he was to die, and he was the one that was to give up his spirit. No man would take it from him. And so he is not concerned about that. His disciples are, because they still are not grasping the whole purpose of his first coming. They're still looking for the kingdom to be established on this earth even as going to be relayed later on, as you see in Matthew 24, when he's on the Mount of Olives, speaking to the disciples and talking to them about the signs before he establishes his kingdom. They thought the kingdom was coming now. And Jesus said, no, I am coming to go to the cross now. The kingdom is coming later. Now, his disciples say that. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? Now, this is a strange answer. Aren't there 12 hours in a day? Well, he's speaking of 12 hours of light in the day. If you've been to Israel, it's much like if you go to Hawaii. Darkness comes about the same time every day because it's closer to the equator than we are. Because we're so far from the equator, when the earth tilts on its axis at different, and we go around the sun at different times of the year, our days get longer or shorter. If you go to Hawaii, it's the same whether you go in January or July. The days are just a matter of minutes difference. And there's 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. Very similar in Israel, because they're at a similar location on the earth in the distance from the equator. And so they have more, their days are 12-hour days and 12-hour nights than we would have here. And so this is what he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day... Okay, and what is the day? The day is when there is light. He stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And so Jesus is saying, if you're walking during the day, you have the light, the sun, so the light of this world allows you so that you will not stumble, you will not fall, you can see what's in front of you. However, what happens if you walk at night? He says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Okay, now, he's saying a physical fact that they'd understand, but it's also a spiritual truth. And the light that he's speaking of spiritually is God's light. The darkness he's speaking of spiritually is the world's darkness. And he's saying if men walk in the light of the Lord, they'll have understanding. And they'll be able to comprehend. But if they walk in the darkness of this world, they'll stumble and fall, and they'll never know what is really things are really about. And if you've ever been out in darkness, and I've been in some places where it's really, really dark. Shared with you before, when my daughter first moved into the house, first time we stayed down there, it was really dark at night. There was no stars, there was clouds, there was no moon. She had the bathroom downstairs that we used, but it had no night light in it. Our room had no light in it. It had no clock in it. There was no light, no point of reference at all. In the middle of the night, I had to get up and go to the bathroom. And so I'm getting up, and I'm trying to find the door to get out of the bedroom to go to the bathroom. And I'm feeling around, and I'm feeling around. Finally, I feel a door, and I open it up, and Roberta wakes up, and she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to the bathroom. In the closet? And I had lost my way, because I had no idea where I was. And so I thought I was going into the bathroom, but I was really entering the closet. And the thing is, that's what Jesus is saying here. You stumble around, you can't see where you're going, and it can end in disaster, and it will. So he's saying, but we have light, and the light is the light of the Lord that reveals that, just like the light does during the day. These things said he, and after that he saith to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, when he is speaking of sleep, he's speaking in sleep in the same terms that the Apostle Paul speaks of sleep in 1 Thessalonians, where he's talking about that there are those who shall sleep, but then they shall be raised first at the second appearing of the Lord. And sleep here is equivalent to physical death, but it's he's telling his disciples that. They're not grasping it. And part of it is they're looking at everything through physical eyes. You can see in the way that they're responding to him that they're not understanding that this is a spiritual opportunity that God has placed before all the people in Bethany and Jerusalem so that they can be aware that Jesus truly is the Son of God, the Messiah that's come to take away the sins of the world. His disciples don't get it. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. In other words, when you sleep and you're sick, guess what? You usually get better if you sleep. That's what they tell you. Go get some rest and get over this illness. And so they're thinking, well, if he's sleeping, then he'll be better. But then we don't have to hurry back there. And they're trying to convince Jesus, you don't have to go. Just stay here. They're going to kill you. And Jesus says, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. Okay, so finally he's going to cut to the quick and tell them exactly what the circumstances are. Lazarus is dead. Now Jesus knew this. No one had told him that, but Jesus knew that. And that came with the spiritual light, that the revelation that had been given to him about the whole situation and why the Father had allowed this to occur. It was to glorify himself and the Son and to reveal the power of the Son. And so Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? Well, if you go through Scripture, you will see that nobody ever dies in Jesus' presence, and the only ones that did were those that died after he died that were hanging on the cross. But if you look at when they brought sick people to him, they were always healed. No one died in Jesus' presence. Why? Because he had power over death. Death had no victory in his presence. He was life. And so he's saying, I'm glad that I wasn't there. Why? For the disciples' sake. So they could truly understand who he was and what his mission is. And his mission wasn't to establish an earthly kingdom at this time. His mission was to overcome sin and death, the consequences of sin, and they needed to die to do that. And so this was beginning to be a stage of revelation for the disciples. By them not being there and Jesus just healing Lazarus while he was sick, something greater is going to be seen by the disciples than would have been seen had he just healed them. And so he tells them, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Okay, so Jesus says, now is the time to go. I've waited 2 days, so now it'll be 4 days by the time I get there. By the time the servant came a day, 2 days that I've waited to go, and a day for us to get up there, that's 4 days. We're going to arrive, and it's going to be the fourth day. Everybody's going to know that Lazarus is dead, and that's what the situation needs to be. And so then Thomas speaks. And this is amazing, because this is the same Thomas when the disciples came to him in the upper room and said, the Lord is alive. We've seen Jesus. And he says, unless I place my hand in the nail prints in his hands and place my hand in his side, I will not believe it. Okay? This is the same Thomas, but this same Thomas is the one that's saying now, but then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And so he perceives that this is a death wish by Jesus, but they're his disciples, and so we're going to go and we're going to lay down our lives as well. Unfortunately, none of the disciples followed through on that, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, because they didn't lay down their lives. They all fled and scattered the minute Jesus was taken by the Sadducees and Pharisees, and when he was put on trial, they'd come and observe from a distance, but they did not want to be identified with Jesus because they walked in fear. Thomas is walking in great boldness now because he's not facing death with his words, but later on we're going to see that boldness changes. But as we look here, Jesus is setting the stage so that all of Jerusalem and Bethany and all those around will truly understand he is the Messiah. There's not going to be any way that you can get around it now. And we're going to see that next study as well, that the Jewish leadership just could not get around this. So Jesus is revealing and bringing glory to himself and to his Father. Let's just close. Lord, I pray that you just be with us this afternoon. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for showing us the power that you have over death and sin. And also, thank you for showing us that you are in control, that it may appear that Satan has all these things happening in the world to try and stop your word from going forth and your power from being revealed, but it can't happen. It'll happen in the time which you desire for it to happen. And Lord, even the day in which we live, there are those who would come against you and say that you don't exist and people shouldn't believe in you, but it doesn't matter because your power is greater than Satan's. Your power is greater than the vain philosophies of men. And Father, you have revealed your power through your Son who came and gained victory over sin and death. Now, Lord, I pray that you just go with us and help us to be able to share with others the hope we have in Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 534. 534.